Have a jazz question that needs answering? Well, then give us a call on our podcast questions hotline at 910-LJS-CAST. That's 910-557-2278. Leave us a voicemail with your jazz question, and you may just hear it answered on a future LJS podcast episode. That's 910-LJS-CAST.
Welcome to the LJS Podcast, where you get weekly jazz tips, interviews, stories, and advice for becoming a better jazz musician. And now your host, he's a jazz musician, author, and entrepreneur, Brent Bartstra.
All right, hey, what's up, everybody? My name is Brent. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Learn Jazz Standards Podcast. So glad you're here, no matter where you're listening from, whether it's from our home base at learnjazzstandards.com, iTunes, YouTube, and no matter where you're listening from in the world, I want to welcome you. And on today's episode 60, I have a great, exciting topic. It's all about how to develop relative pitch. And to talk about this today, I have a very special guest coming on the show, all the way from Los Angeles, singer and pianist Amy Nolte. So excited to have her on. She just absolutely blasts you today with tons of valuable information and things to work on, things to practice. I absolutely love this episode, so definitely keep on listening. Now, if you've been listening to this show for a while and you get some value out of it, a really simple way that you can give value back to us is simply by leaving a rating and a review on iTunes. That always helps other people find this show. So go to iTunes, leave a rating and review. And of course, if you're not part of our jazz community yet, go to learnjazzstandards.com/newsletter. Would love to have you join us there. Now, remember also, if you'd like to ask a question on the LJS podcast, you got to call our podcast questions hotline. The number for our podcast questions hotline is 910-LJS-CAST, or that's 910-557-2278. Leave us a voicemail with your jazz question. It could be answered on a future upcoming LJS podcast episode. Doesn't matter what the question is, I'll find someone who knows the answer if I don't know. Now, we're not going to have Ask LJS today, but we will in future episodes, so be sure to call in. All right, now let's not waste any more time. Let's get on our special guest today, Amy Nolte. Here we go. All right, joining us on the show today is Amy Nolte from Los Angeles, California. Super excited to have her on. Amy, thanks so much for being on the show today.
No problem. Thanks for asking me.
Of course. And so it's a weird way I found you. I found you by just showing up in my timeline on Jam of the Week, the Facebook group Jam of the Week. And then I saw you in my feed on YouTube and saw you had a bunch of followers, and I just really love your stuff. So I thought, man, we need to get Amy on the show. So I'm excited to have you, and I'm really excited today to talk about how we can develop relative pitch. I know that's something that I'm super excited to talk about and learn about. I know my audience is excited too. So, but before we jump into that, I want to find out, a lot of my listeners probably don't know who you are. So who is Amy Nolte?
I'm a jazz piano player and singer. And like you said, I live in Los Angeles, and I grew up in a little town in Northern California called Weaverville, mm-hmm. where there was like not much going on at all. But in high school, I kind of fell in love with jazz just because we had a jazz band in high school. And so we would go to like these jazz festivals, and then I just learned that I could improvise. And that was kind of like the end for me. As soon as I learned that I could make stuff up on the spot, that was the most fun ever. So since then, I didn't really look back, and I went to school for jazz, Brigham Young University in Provo, Utah.
Okay, yeah.
I studied jazz piano there. I actually didn't decide that I wanted to sing until I was, 25 or 6 or something. I mean, I always sang for fun, and I always really liked to play piano and sing, but you can actually check on one of my YouTube videos. I told about the time, or why I almost quit singing for good, is because somebody told me one time that I had to choose either piano or voice. And
oh no!
So that's why I chose piano for a while. But after a few years, I realized that the thing I really love to do is play and sing.
Now, one of the videos that you have on your YouTube channel, you talk about how you discovered you have quote unquote perfect pitch. How did you first discover that?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I didn't ever even know or think about it until I was probably 18 and I went to this Jamie Ebersol clinic in Sacramento. And I spent a whole day there just like learning. And then the second day, I remember I was sitting way in the back in this auditorium and he said, "Hey, does anybody out there have perfect pitch?" And I thought, I was like, I don't know if I do. And then somebody else raised their hand and he called on that person and called them up to the stage. And then he just started plunking out notes, just, and the guy would say C, F sharp, B, A. And I was keeping up with him. So I was in the back of that room going, oh, I know those notes. And then he would say, okay, what are these three notes? And I knew them. And, you know, the guy knew them and I knew them. And he even played really hard ones, like at the bottom of the piano and the top. And I was just keeping up with him. Yeah. So then I said, I guess I've got perfect pitch.
And so at that point, did you, I guess perfect pitch, it has such a weird thing about it because it almost seems like it's this almost supernatural ability when you find someone who has perfect pitch, who just at the whim, you play a note and they just know what it is. And I'm especially thinking about like all these child prodigies that have perfect pitch.
Right.
Was that the way it is for you, or like, how can you explain it?
Well, I think I went to college and then I heard one of my professors talking one day about how he had perfect pitch and he was saying, he goes, you know, my car, the horn on my car is a B flat. And he said something like that. And he said, and one day I took off really fast from a stop sign and I was mad at the guy in front of me. So, you know, my tires peeled out and they were all right. And he goes, and it was a G and I honked the horn at the same time and made a major sixth.
Oh my goodness.
And I went in my head, I went, oh, I can't do that. I said, I don't know, you know, I can't tell you what my horn is or what noise my tires make every time I peel out, which is daily. I'm kidding right there. But, but yeah, I can't do that. And I also, I came to figure out that if you ask me to sing an A, I won't always be exactly right. I might be a quarter tone flat or sharp, or maybe even a half step on some days. So what I've learned is that I only pretty much have perfect pitch when it comes to the piano.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Once in a while, I'll hear like a trumpet, which is another instrument that I played for a long time, or a guitar, and I kind of play guitar. Sometimes I can hear those notes and know exactly what they are too. But so I've learned that there are different levels of perfect pitch, and you know, I guess I don't just have like relative pitch. It's like somewhere between perfect pitch and relative pitch. There's a name for it. I can't remember what it is.
Well, let's talk about that really quick. So what is the difference between, just for all the listeners in case they don't know already, what's the difference between perfect pitch and relative pitch?
Well, relative pitch, I think we can all develop, you know, some of us better than others, but that's the ability to be able to find a way to figure out what, you know, what notes are. So that it, maybe if you have a reference point, like maybe if you know that's a D and then you hear some other note, you know, then you'll be able to figure out the other note. If you hear somebody sing, ah, and you know that that's a D, you can real quick in your head, you can go do, re, mi, fa, sol. And then you know that the next one's an A. Little tricks like that.
Right, right. And perfect pitch just being almost this, this natural ability just to sense vibrations and put a name to it.
I think so. Yeah. Have you seen the videos on YouTube of Dylan Beato?
I have not seen those videos.
My friend Rick Beato has a son who has probably the best perfect pitch of anyone on the planet, and he's made some great videos. I'm sure your listeners have heard them and seen them. Okay. But I mean, if you want to know what real perfect pitch is, you go watch that 9-year-old kid, Dylan Beato, and you'll be blown
maybe
away.
Maybe I have seen those videos. Like, it's a father maybe in his 40s, 50s or something like that. And he's like playing the craziest stuff and he just knows what. Yeah.
That's right.
And that's probably him. That's absolutely crazy. Okay. But so you're saying that you think that relative pitch, we can all develop relative pitch. Now, that sounds awesome to me. I know I'm particularly interested in that because I don't have perfect pitch. but as we know, for jazz and in all kinds of music, for jazz specifically, though, we need to have great ears. I mean, would you not say it's a huge important part of playing jazz music?
Yeah, if you can't hear what you're doing, and I always say sing what you're doing, I think you're missing out.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And so I think relative pitch can be it can be helpful. I mean, in so many ways, because I think that by even just trying to attain relative pitch, you're going through a lot of exercises and different lengths that will develop your ear. Anyways, so my question to you is, how do we develop relative pitch?
Well, I mean, I have this, you know, I don't think I made it up or anything, but just this little concept that I like to call finding your perfect pitch jam. And that way I don't look at it like it's an exercise or, you know, a tedious process of trying to learn relative pitch because, you know, say that you're in an a cappella group and you guys go out to sing at a mall, it's super fancy, and you guys are right by the food court and everything, and then you have got to be the one to tell your group, you know, the note that you start your song on. What if your song's in A and somebody's got to find an A because nobody brought a pitch pipe? Like, how are you going to do that? So my little thing called perfect pitch jam is that you figure out some song that you're really, really comfortable with, like some song that you know inside and out so well that you can actually kind of hear it playing in your mind. And then you think about it really hard and you hear it, and then you try to produce the sound or a pitch. The one that I like to use, because when I was first trying out this theory, I was testing it on my husband. And I knew that as a kid, he listened to Money for Nothing, Chicks for Free by Dire Straits a lot. And that song starts out with, I want my MTV on a really strong B flat. And I said to him, I said, do you think you could just sing I Want My MTV and know what note it was on? And he was like, no. And I said, no, I bet you can. I said, will you just try it?
Is your husband musical?
Yeah, he's a little musical.
Okay.
And so he just shot for it. He just... I think I'm right. Yeah, B flat.
But nice.
That was him, you know. He just shot for it and he nailed it. I was like, all right, John, that's your perfect pitch jam. Now, anytime in life, if somebody needs a note, all you have to do is recall that B flat from your memory, and then you can find any other note from it.
Right, which is crazy. And okay, spoiler alert to everybody listening right now. This isn't the first time I've heard Amy talk about this. I snuck into some of her YouTube videos and heard her talk about this before. And in complete honesty, Amy, when I first heard you talk about this, finding your perfect pitch jam and discovering a note from just a song that you think you really know really well, I didn't buy it at first. At first, I was like, I don't know about this. So what I did is I tried it out myself. I was like, well, I got to give this a try. And so I thought of a song that... for me, I play all the time and tried it myself. I try the one I know My Shining Hour so well.
I love that too.
Yeah, it's a great song. I play it in C and E flat, but often in E flat. So I felt like I knew it. And so I started testing myself, and I've been like practicing throughout the week, and I feel like I've been nailing it like 95% of the time.
Nice.
So and I was just so blown away by that. I was like, man, she knows what she's talking about. That's crazy. Because I feel like just by the first note, by the way, is G. So just by defining what G is, I just felt like, wow, like I can figure out everything else from here, or maybe get used to other notes. In fact, I might embarrass myself really bad here, and that's okay. let me see if I can get G. D.
You got it, Brent.
I got it. Oh, I'm so happy. Okay, great.
Nailed it.
It still thrills me every single time. Okay, awesome. And so once you find your song, now is there only one song, or do you think there's multiple songs that people can discover?
That's a good question. Since I put that YouTube video up, some people have written and said, oh, I already know about this. I have a song for every key or for every note. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, why do you need that? I don't know why you need that, but it might just be fun.
Okay.
You know, if you can figure out one for every key, I guess it might just be fun. But you know, if you've got your G for My Shining Hour and somebody asks you to find a C sharp, can you do it, Brent?
I think so. So, da, da. Is that it?
Almost.
Okay, let me.
A little bit flat. But tell us how you're finding it. Okay. So there's your G. Walk us through it yourself.
Yeah. Duh. So I know my intervals. I think that's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. Probably a little weaker on my going down than
exactly.
up. But so I'm just thinking, okay, C sharp, that's a, well, C is a fourth away from G. And then going up, it's a fourth going up. And then, so C sharp is a half step higher. So I'm just going, da, da. So then I know that C sharp is da.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's probably exactly how I'd do it. So your G note that you had, if you find your C from it, da, 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 you could sing a major scale like that. And then you're right. You just sharp it, da, da. Right. And you've got
right.
it. So any note that you need to find, as long as you've, I mean, I don't think there's a reason to find 12 different perfect pitch jams unless
yeah.
you have all this spare time on your hands or something. But I think you just
right.
need one. And then you can, as long as you're, you know, you've learned some intervals, you know, I mean, you need to know your major scales and all of your intervals. Then I think you'll
right.
be able to find your way to whatever note you need.
All right, just taking a little break from today's show to talk to you about our flagship ebook, Zero to Improv. Zero to Improv is a book that teaches you how to become a great jazz improviser from the ground up. No stone is left unturned. This isn't your ordinary music book, Zero to Improv. It calls you to action. It's packed full of improv and jazz theory lessons. You'll start from the beginning and build up all of the skills and knowledge that you need to become a great jazz improviser. There's audio examples included for all of the music notation in the book, and versions are available for C, B-flat, E-flat, and bass clef instruments. It's designed for all skill levels. If you want to learn more about Zero to Improv, go to zerotoimprov.com. That's www.zerotoimprov.com. Right. And for everybody listening right now, if you're hearing this and you're like, okay, well, I think I can find my perfect pitch jam, I can find my first note, but how do I, if I don't know my intervals, you're kind of stuck, right, when it comes to relative pitch. On learnjazzstandards.com, we have a great quiz. It's our ear training intervals quiz. So just go to learnjazzstandards.com and then search for ear training, and you're going to find that it's one of the first things that comes up
That's
to
great.
Work on your intervals. So, Amy, would you say that, so is that really the next place we go after finding our perfect pitch jam? We go straight to intervals. Is that the next step naturally?
I think so. And you know, a lot of people will just quiz themselves by hearing the intervals, but I think you need to be singing all of them, like
right.
a lot, because I mean, all of it needs to be connected. What you hear and what sound you can produce yourself out of your mouth and the way that it feels in your throat, you know, those things
right.
are really important, just to kind of have your body be, you know, connected to all these notes that you hear. So if, you know, if you're just listening to fourths and you're trying to say, what are those? Without actually going la la la, I don't think you're internalizing it nearly as well as you could be.
Okay, so singing it is really important to be able to sing what you're playing.
Yeah, and it's cool too. You can switch it up all kinds of ways, because you know we're gonna do intervals ascending and intervals descending. So you can play yourself a B. And then you can say, what's a minor third down? And then you think of it and then play it and see if you're right. And if you weren't right, you better try it again and sing it. And then you hit it. And you can do all sorts of things where from the given note that you have, you make yourself produce the pitch with your voice first. And then right. you can mix it up a little bit by, you know, I love that you have a quiz on your website. You can mix it up by having somebody quiz you or going to this yes. website yeah. and being quizzed. And then you don't use your voice and you see how good your ears are just without. But then anytime you need help, I think your voice is definitely your crutch and that can be helpful too.
Right. And, you know, there's the thing where, you know, for example, if you're learning a jazz solo or any solo of any kind of music, a lot of musicians will tell you to, well, first you have to listen to it, right? Some people will just jump in right to trying to get it onto their instrument. But the first step really is just to listen to it like many times over.
So many times.
I mean, almost like in an obsessive way so that you have it internalized. And then the next step that a lot of people, I mean, not so much, obviously not vocalists, but a lot of instrumentalists skip is the trying to sing it part.
Right.
Which really ensures that you already got it internalized. All you need to do after that is just get it on your instrument. So much value in singing, you know, in general, just exactly what you're talking about here.
Yeah. And that to me was so organic. I mean, even all those years that I really didn't sing and I was just playing piano, you know, if I was listening to a beautiful John Coltrane solo as I, you know, yeah. walked across campus one day or whatever, and I listened to it a ton of times, like I was already singing it just for fun. You know, how you sing along with anything that you like just for fun. And man, I don't know why you would ever try to transcribe something that you didn't absolutely love. And if you absolutely right. love something, you've listened to it like 50 times or 100 times, you know?
Absolutely,
and then,
yeah.
yeah, I mean, you're just singing. And if you can sing it, then yeah, you've done like half the work. Then after that, it's yeah. just boring stuff like fingering and tone and
yeah,
yeah on your yep. instrument.
So what are some, you know, so it sounds like we've established you get your perfect pitch jam, as you're calling it, and then you establish intervals after that. And you're even talking about, you've had some people comment that, well, they learned a bunch of other perfect pitch jams to help them out with other notes, maybe to get them quicker. But in general, it's coming down to, we need some ear training fundamentals. Are there any ear training exercises that you would recommend to any of the listeners today?
Let me think. I really like to, I just like to use tunes in general. Like if you want to practice something, I always say pick a tune so that it's not boring. So, right. so, you know, what if we picked your tune, My Shining Hour, and then what if we just take that first chord that I played right there? I played an E flat, a B flat, a C, a D, an E flat, and a G. So, mm-hmm. So you pick a voicing, and then you tell yourself, I'm going to sing the six of that chord. Can you do it? Right?
Wow.
I shouldn't have given it away for you right now. Let's try another one.
Oh, you're scaring me. Okay, let's try this.
I'm playing a sus chord right now on this B flat. Mm-hmm. Can you sing the sus note?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's right. That's the E flat.
Ah, all right.
Good. Now I'm gonna add a sharp 11 on this next one chord.
Okay.
Can you sing it?
Ah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Brent, you're amazing. Now sing the 9 on this chord.
Da.
That's the melody note, which is a common mistake. I'm glad you did that.
Yep.
It's really common. So we're shooting for that's the 4 of an F minor chord. We're shooting for the 9.
Yep. Oh man, I'm struggling here. Play it one more time
for
me.
It's tough, isn't it? Hold on, let me help you. Sing the melody note again. Bright, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then just walk down. You know it's a B flat. Walk down to the G.
Da. Ah. Oof. Da do.
One more half step.
Da do.
That's it. Yeah, that's it.
All right. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That's great practice, Amy. Thank you. That's amazing.
Yeah. No problem.
So just playing chords with different voicings and just trying to find whether it's an extension or just a basic chord tone. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, to take it a step further, you can be playing along in the tune and you can say, all right, my next chord is going to be a B flat 7. So I would like to, I'd like to alter that and play a sharp 9 on it. But before mm-hmm. I actually hit it with my fingers, I'm going to sing that sharp 9. So then you, right. then you try to sing it and then you, I mean, it's endless. You can come up with all kinds of things.
That's awesome.
You can try to sing every note in the chord. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so much great material. Well, Amy, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. Is there a link that listeners can go check out more of your stuff? Any place that you want to lead people to?
Yeah, for sure. My website's the best place, aminolte.com, and that's AimeeNolte.com. And you can find a lot of my YouTube videos there or clips of them that'll just lead you to where you need to go. I also have a shop on my website that'll give you worksheets that go along with my videos. It can also take you to my, I have a couple of albums, but you can link to everything there.
Okay, great. So everybody check out aimeenolte.com and check out Amy's music and her videos. Amy, thanks so much for being on the show today. Hope to have you back again soon.
It was really fun, Brent. Nice to meet you.
All right, that's all for today. Thanks so much for listening and thanks for tuning in. You can find today's show notes at learnjazzstandards.com. Go to podcast in the top menu and find this episode 60. And remember to check out Amy Nolte. You can go to her website, aimeenolte.com. That's AimeeNolte.com. Remember to leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. It helps other people find this podcast. And of course, become part of our jazz community at learnjazzstandards.com/newsletter. We're going to be coming out with a brand new episode 61 next week. I'm looking forward to seeing you back then.
Thanks for listening to the LJS Podcast, brought to you by learnjazzstandards.com. Subscribe to the series on iTunes, and don't forget to join our jazz community at learnjazzstandards.com/newsletter.